Welcome. You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us for Arapahoe County News, read by Austin. Today, we will be reading the following main articles. Trump administration sues Colorado, Denver, alleging blame for Aurora apartment debacle. 18 now signal intent to run for Aurora City Council in November, 7 in Ward 1. Jackass Hill Trail connection reopening, and following up with other miscellaneous articles. Centennial, Metro. Trump administration sues Colorado, Denver, alleging blame for Aurora apartment debacle. Justice Department attorneys argue Colorado's sanctuary policies allowed the Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua to seize control of the edge of Lowry apartment complex in Aurora. Police and city officials have repeatedly disputed the characterization. Written by Thomas Piper, Associated Press, and the Sentinel, May 2nd, 2025. There are three ads associated with this article. The first ad, Sentinel Muse. There's a list of different events going on for Saturday, May 3rd. Chalk Lines and Vines, Arapahoe County Fair. Is your dog getting enough exercise for a healthy lifestyle? Moss Denver, Denver, Colorado. Can consistent routines help reduce puppy biting? Right Room, Denver, Colorado. The Adams Family, Denver for the Center of Arts, Denver, Colorado. 2025 Lads to Leaders Regional Convention, Denver, Colorado. Guttenberg, the Musical, Denver for the Center of Arts, Denver, Colorado. And English Football League Championship Games, British Bulldog Denver, Denver, Colorado. The second ad, Denver's International Airport's Snack and Souvenir Expo, Wednesday, May 21st, 2025, 7:30 a.m., The Westin at Denver International Airport. Click for details. The third ad, the District Credit Union, get paid for good grades. Earn up to $15 for A's and B's. Your school, your community, your credit union. 303-360-0987. DistrictCreditUnion.com, and there is a QR code on the side that has an Apply Now slogan below it. Denver. The Department of Justice sued Colorado and Denver on Friday for allegedly interfering with federal efforts to enforce immigration laws in Aurora, the latest attempt by the Trump administration to crack down on what some call sanctuary cities and policies. The lawsuit claims the state and Denver have passed, quote, sanctuary laws, end quote, violating the supremacy clause of the U.S. Constitution. Quote, the United States has well-established preeminent and preemptive authority to regulate immigration matters, end quote, according to the lawsuit, which was filed in federal court in Denver. There is no strict definition for sanctuary policies or sanctuary cities, but the terms generally describe limited local cooperation with immigration and customs enforcement. ICE enforces U.S. immigration laws nationwide, but seeks state and local help, particularly for large-scale deportations, and requests that police and sheriffs alert ICE to people it wants to deport and hold them until federal officers take custody. The Department of Justice has filed similar lawsuits against Chicago and Rochester, New York. Justice Department attorneys argue Colorado's, quote, sanctuary policies, end quote, allowed the Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua to seize control of the edge of Lowry apartment complex in Aurora. Police and city officials have repeatedly disputed the characterization. The apartments were shut down earlier this year by the city, which deemed them uninhabitable because of the public health and crime conditions. Local officials have called Trump's claims that the gang had taken over large swaths of the city exaggerated, but acknowledged a wide variety of crimes occurred at the apartment complex, including crimes committed by people linked to Tren de Aragua. The vast majority of issues at the apartment complex, including crime and public health and safety problems, were caused by mismanagement and malfeasance by the landlord, according to court cases filed by the city against owners CBZ Management. Friday's lawsuit lists as defendants Democratic Governor Jared Polis, the state legislature, Denver Mayor Mike Johnston, and Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser. Polis spokesperson Connor Cahill said in an email that Colorado is not a sanctuary state and regularly works with local, state, and federal law enforcement agencies. Quote, "If the courts say that any Colorado law is not valid, then we will follow the ruling," end quote, he said. Quote, "We are not going to comment on the merits of the lawsuit," end quote. Republicans in Congress have pressured officials in Democratic-led cities to cooperate with the Trump administration's immigration agenda. Lawmakers summoned the mayor of Denver, Boston, New York, and Chicago to testify last month before the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. The mayors pushed back, defending their communities as welcoming places, not lawless danger zones, and called on Congress to pass immigration reform. It was unclear immediately if the lawsuit was linked to unproven allegations that leaks from inside the Trump administration to media or others spoiled an ICE raid in February in Aurora and Denver that appeared to turn up few immigrants for arrest. On February 7th, Donald Trump's border czar Tom Homan blamed local news media leaks for hindering a large-scale operation in Aurora that President Trump has held up in his efforts to link violent crime with immigration. More than 100 members of the Tren de Aragua gang were targeted February 6th at apartment buildings and other sites in Denver and Aurora, according to U.S. Immigration and Customs effort. Fox News, which was embedded with the operation, said 30 people were detained, including at least one person accused to be a member of the Venezuelan gang. But White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt later said that more than 100 members of Tren de Aragua were deported from Colorado. She offered no details or evidence. No local official from federal agencies released information about the operations. Rocky Mountain DEA spokesperson Stephen Tubbs told the Sentinel that his agency would not release details because Homeland Security led the effort. Months after the raid, details about Homan's allegations of a leak and who was contacted or arrested are still not made public. The February operation included the largely empty apartment complex where a notorious viral video was taken in August depicting men with guns inside the apartment complex. Residents had been moving out for months, all but one because of its building is set to be closed by the city February 18th, after a judge said it was a public safety threat. In December, police say a group of people that included seven suspected Tren de Aragua members tied up, pistol whipped, and terrorized two fellow immigrants from Venezuela at the complex. Nine people, initially put in ICE custody, are being prosecuted on state charges and transferred to the local jail. Immigration rights activists say that at least for the Aurora raids, federal officials appear to be targeting residents potentially in violation of immigration law, not for criminal offenses. Quote, "This action, taking place in Aurora, a focal point of Trump's anti-immigration rhetoric, is a direct attempt to criminalize immigrant communities," end quote, Colorado Immigration Rights Council officials said in a statement. The group and others had been warning immigrants in the region for weeks that such a raid was imminent, and offered legal advice, which included demanding a warrant from federal agents. There are two pictures associated with this article. The first picture has the following description. There was no working heat at the apartment complex. Residents were using kitchen stoves where possible. Pipes were broken everywhere, creating ice inside, as seen in this bathroom. Photo via City of Aurora. The picture is of a bathroom with drywall missing, insulation falling over the place, water everywhere with ice frozen on it, and missing pieces in the ceiling. The second picture has the following description. Residents at the edge of Lowry and nearby celebrate during a fiesta in the parking lot, celebrating a warm fall day. Many of the residents are Venezuelan immigrants under scrutiny because of a false anti-immigration narrative promoted by then GOP president nominee Donald Trump and Aurora City Councilmember Danielle Jurinski. Photos by Trajan, Centennial, Colorado. The picture is of a bunch of kids and people standing in front of a building that are all listening to them talk. Centennial Metro, 18 now signal intent to run for Aurora City Council in November, 7 in Ward 1. The Aurora City Council races are nonpartisan, but partisan politics have, for the last several years, played a significant role in city council politics and its operation. Written by Cassandra Ballard, Centennial staff writer, May 2, 2025. There are three ads associated with this article. The first ad, Centennial Muse. There's a list of different events going on for Saturday, May 3rd. Chalk Lines and Vines, Arapahoe County Fair. Is your dog getting enough exercise for a healthy lifestyle? Moss Denver, Denver, Colorado. Can consistent routines help reduce puppy biting? Right Room, Denver, Colorado. The Adams Family, Denver for the Center of Arts, Denver, Colorado. 2025 Lads to Leaders Regional Convention, Denver, Colorado. Guttenberg, The Musical, Denver for the Center of Arts, Denver, Colorado. And English Football League Championship Games, British Bulldog, Denver, Denver, Colorado. The second ad, Denver's International Airport's Snack and Souvenir Expo, Wednesday, May 21st, 2025, 7:30 a.m., The Westin at Denver International Airport. Click for details. The third ad, the District Credit Union. Get paid for good grades. Earn up to $15 for A's and B's. Your school, your community, your credit union. 303-360-0987. DistrictCreditUnion.com, and there is a QR code on the side that has an Apply Now slogan below it. Aurora. The list of people intending to run for city council seats this fall continues to get longer as new hopefuls for at-large seats and Ward 1 sign on as candidates. People can put their hat in the ring and add their name to the clerk's office for financial reports, but they will all need to get necessary number of signatures by August 23rd, according to city election rules for 2025. Ward positions require 50 signatures from valid voters, and at-large positions require 100 signatures. The Aurora City Council races are nonpartisan, but partisan politics have, for the last several years, played a significant role in city council politics and its operation. A measure seeking to require ballots to reveal political party registration failed 3 years ago. Every elected county, state, and congressional office representing Aurora, but one state house seat, is held by a registered Democrat. The Aurora City Council, however, is governed by a majority of registered Republicans, former Republicans, or members aligning with the Republican Party. Ward 1 in Aurora encompasses the oldest parts of the city and is sometimes referred to as the, quote, heart of, end quote, and, quote, original, end quote, Aurora. Incumbent council member Crystal Murillo, a Democrat, has not publicly announced whether she will seek a final term, but five other people have filed with the city on their intentions to run. Candidates so far include Reverend Reed Hetchett, Stephanie Elkins, Gianna Horton, Christopher Bellila, Leandra Steed, Javier Chavez, and James Willett. In Ward 2, Gayla Carrier, Amy Wiles, and incumbent councilmember Steve Sundberg have all made public their intent to run for the seat. Former Aurora council member Marsha Berzins, a Republican, made public her intent to reclaim the Ward 3 council seat, currently held by council member Ruben Medina, a Democrat, who also announced he will seek re-election to a second term. In the city's two at-large council races, incumbents Daniel Jurinski and Amsalu Kasa, both Republicans, have announced they are running. Jurinski is in her second term, and Kasa was appointed in December to council member, dusting Zvonk's seat. He is running for his first term. Those looking to run for at-large seats include Ron Andrews, who stepped down from running for mayor in the last city council election so not to split the Democratic vote with previous Democratic councilmember Juan Marcano, Alexander Jackson, Jorge Hernandez, and Aaron Futrell are all newly signed up with interest to run. Party affiliations for candidates were those listed by the candidates during the 2024 election. Two at-large city council seats. Alexandra Jackson. Jackson, a Democrat, is a social worker and a mother. On her campaigning website, Jackson said she is running on a, quote, community first, end quote, platform, and is committed to ensuring that Aurora's growth benefits all residents, not just big corporations or special interests. Quote, Aurora changed my family's life, and I'm running to protect that legacy and build a brighter future for our city, end quote, said Jackson on her campaign website. Jackson said her campaign is centered on economic growth, family support, and community wellness. Her focus on economic growth includes expanding small business grants, creating more job pipelines from schools, especially high-paying careers, and fighting price gouging, driving up the cost of living, according to her website. Quote, I've seen new development bring opportunity, but I've also watched too many neighbors struggle to afford living here, end quote, she said on her website. Quote, we need leadership that puts people first, listens to our community, and ensures that Aurora remains a place where families, workers, and small businesses can thrive, end quote. Family matters include advocating for affordable childcare, expanding after-school and recreation programs, and ensuring families have access to mental health and social services, according to our website. Community wellness includes strengthening relationships between social services and the city, increasing funding for affordable housing, and protecting Aurora's natural spaces. Jorge Hernandez. Hernandez has not created a website or any announcement and did not immediately respond to the Sentinel for more information. Daniel Jurinski. Jurinski has made public that she is running for a second term at large. The other at-large seat is currently held by Amsalu Kasa, a Republican. Jurinski said that she has lived in Aurora her whole life. She is a mother and a small business owner. Jurinski owns and operates JJ's Place Bar and Restaurant in Aurora and describes herself as a pro-business city lawmaker. During her first term, Jurinski garnered national media attention and that of the Trump presidential campaign, promoting the narrative that immigrant gangs had, quote, overrun, end quote, or, quote, taken over, end quote, parts of Aurora. Jurinski's critics say that false and exaggerated claims she made were for the benefit of national election season narrative. Jurinski is a single mother, and she said on her campaign website that she is, quote, fighting for a stronger, safer Aurora while bridging the gap between Aurora citizens and our local Aurora law enforcement, end quote. As a small business owner and representative, she spearheaded the removal of the $2 a month, quote, head tax, end quote, for businesses and employees, which was estimated to bring the city an additional $6 million in tax revenue. The change had recently become an issue as the city is expanding a shortfall in revenue to balance the 2026 budget. Jurinski has been vocal in her first term about her, quote, tough on crime, end quote, philosophy, backing a variety of measures increasing fines and jail time for theft and vagrancy. She supported the city's homeless camping ban and the opening of Aurora Navigation Campus, a, quote, work first, end quote, approach facility addressing homelessness. She said she will continue to focus on jobs in the economy, public safety, revitalizing neighborhoods, and taxes and fees. Quote, I strongly believe that Americans should be able to keep most of the money they earn, end quote, Jurinski said on her campaign website. Quote, I will continue to fight back against any increases that take more money away unnecessarily from hardworking Aurora families. I will continue to fight to lower existing taxes and fees for the people of Aurora. Rob Andrews. Rob Andrews, a Democrat, announced his candidacy for an at-large seat. Andrews is the founder of the One Voice Coalition, a local startup that works with underserved communities. Quote, with a lifelong commitment to service and a deep passion for the community, Andrews is running to bring fresh leadership, bold solutions, and a collaborative approach to the city's challenges, end quote, a statement about Andrews stated. He said his campaign will focus on fostering economic opportunity for all residents, creating high-quality jobs, and taking a unique and proven approach to building affordable housing and community-based public safety. Andrews ran for Aurora mayor in 2023, but ultimately decided to drop out in order to not, quote, split the vote, end quote, with fellow Democrat Juan Marcano, who started campaigning earlier than Andrews. Quote, I love this city, and I believe in its potential, end quote, Andrews said in a statement. Quote, I'm running for city council because we need affordable housing, economic opportunities that uplift our entire community, and safer neighborhoods for all residents. I spent years working to improve lives in Aurora, and I'm ready to take that work to City Hall, end quote. Andrews is a Colorado native, and he said he's been involved in the economic initiatives in both Adams and Arapahoe counties. The statement said, he serves on multiple steering committees on public safety reform and economic mobility in Aurora, and his experience includes leadership roles in nonprofits and public service, having served on the Colorado Workforce Development Board, Denver County Workforce Development Board, and the Colorado Judicial Performance Commission. He also played professional football for a short while before suffering a career-ending injury. Quote, a former professional athlete, Rob's journey has been defined by resilience, service, and a deep commitment to his community, end quote, the statement said. Aaron Futrell. Futrell, a Democrat, is a lead clerk at the United States Postal Service. Quote, I am running for the community. This campaign is powered by the community, end quote, Futrell said on his Facebook. Quote, please engage with me on this page and let's make Aurora the city I know and love, end quote. Futrell previously served on the Aurora Human Relations Commission, including as vice chair from 2022 to 2023. He currently serves on RTD's Citizen Advisory Commission, and he said he is active in the community regarding racial justice, economic justice, and climate justice. Quote, over the course of the last few years, the narrative of our families and residents have been dragged through the mud, and that is why I am taking a leap of faith and entering the race for at-large. My grandmother was elected 34 years as the first African-American woman to serve, and 34 years later, leadership and council has not changed, end quote, he said in a post. Amsalu Kassaw. Kassaw, a Republican, is an Ethiopian-born at-large city council member who was appointed to former council member Dustin Zavonk's vacant seat last fall and said, quote, he wants to continue to be a voice for the city's diverse residents, end quote, in a statement. Kassaw has only been on the city council since December and has not been the prime sponsor yet of any measures or issues. Quote, Aurora is more than a city to me. It's a symbol of opportunity, diversity, and unity, end quote. Kassaw said in a statement, quote, from my early days of building a new life in America to becoming a proud citizen, this community has shaped who I am today. Over the years, I have dedicated myself to promoting civic engagement, supporting small businesses, and fostering collaboration among diverse communities, end quote. Kassaw has worked for 20 years in the security industry and currently works as a lieutenant at the GEO Group's Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, and the Ethiopian immigrant to hold office in the state of Colorado, according to the statement. He graduated from Ethiopia's Addis Ababa University and has served his local community in various capacities. Quote, I'm honored to be not only a voice for the growing Ethiopian population, but the many immigrant and diverse communities that proudly call Aurora home, end quote, Kassaw said in a statement. Quote, these families and residents deserve a safe and vibrant city that continues to create opportunities for all to succeed, which is why I'm running, end quote. Kassaw said he is focused on creating meaningful opportunities, safer communities, improving infrastructure, and reducing barriers to economic growth. Quote, this journey isn't just about me, it's about us. Together, we can unlock Aurora's full potential and create a future defined by inclusivity, opportunity, and resilience," end quote, he said in a statement. Ward 1, North and Northwest Aurora. Javier Chavez. Chavez, a Democrat, is currently working as committee member for the City of Aurora Advisory Committee on Housing and Community Development and Vice Chair of the Board of Adjustments and Appeals. Chavez is also a senior planner for the State of Colorado's Department of Personnel Administration. He did not immediately return an email. However, he ran for the vacancy of the previous at-large councilmember, Dustin Zivonk, last fall. Leah Steed. Steed, a Democrat, is a director of equity matters at Great Education Colorado. She grew up in the metro Aurora area and attended Denver and Aurora Public Schools. She attended the Community College of Denver and received a bachelor's in elementary education from the University of Northern Colorado. Quote, lead with Steed, end quote, her campaign motto said on her flyer. Steed has served on various community organizations, including as the chairperson for the NAACP Aurora Education Committee. Steed plans to, quote, champion three critical pillars, end quote, in the community: affordable and fair housing, public safety, and economic development and growth. In her campaign email, she said that every Aurora resident deserves a safe and stable place to call home with a clear pathway to ownership, strong tenant protections, and families being kept housed and together. She also plans to focus on public safety through fostering understanding and collaboration to build trust, ensuring the safety of aging population, veterans, and students, and promoting community-centered safety initiatives. She also plans to focus on economic development and growth by supporting small and home businesses and protecting workers' rights. Reverend Reed Hettich. Hettich, an unaffiliated voter, is a well-known pastor and community leader in Aurora, and he brings more than 20 years of community and church service to Aurora, focusing on community revitalization, equity, and public safety. According to Hettich's campaign website, he plans to, quote, focus on community-driven leadership and delivering real results, end quote. Hettich is an executive director and founder of Mosaic Unlimited, a church-based organization, co-owner of the Dayton Street Opportunity Center, chairperson of Aurora's Key Community Response Team, a member of the Community Advisory Council for Aurora's Consent Decree, and a host of other community boards and programs. One notable point of pride for Hettich was the work he did with Aurora Public Schools to connect mentors with at-risk students to help improve their chances of graduating. The mentors he helped connect the students with led to an 80% on-time graduation rate for participants. Stephen Elkins. Elkins, an unaffiliated voter and former planner for the City of Denver, is a resident of the Jewel Heights neighborhood. He regularly attends city council meetings, making frequent public comments. Quote, I think I'm really looking more towards solutions rather than a more hard-edged ideology, end quote, Elkins said, calling himself a centrist. Quote, most people in this country are toward the middle of things, and I think we need leaders who reflect that as well, end quote. Elkins works for a data center company, which he says frequently collaborates with local governments on permitting and project management. He held a variety of positions as a city planner for the City of Denver for more than 7 years. He says his experience working with municipal bureaucracy will help him effectively represent Ward 1, residents, and improve communication between city officials and the public, he said. Quote, I enjoy connecting people with government, explaining complex processes, and making sure that people are heard and connected, end quote, Elkins said. Elkins said if elected, he would focus on public safety, economic development, and government accountability. Christopher Belila. Belila, who is an unaffiliated voter, is the founder of Beer Bodega in Denver, a partnership business model that offers small Denver metro-based breweries the opportunity to expand their business into new markets, according to Belila. Quote, excited to share that I'm running for Aurora City Council, representing Ward 1, known for its rich cultural diversity, making it a vibrant community in Colorado, end quote. Balila said in a post on LinkedIn. Quote, despite its current reputation, Ward 1 is home to kind-hearted individuals deserving of a positive image, end quote. Balila said that Ward 1 faces challenges such as infrastructure investment and public safety, but solutions are within reach. Quote, by utilizing governmental tools and taking essential steps, we can strengthen the ward's foundation and pave the way for a revitalized Ward 1 and Colfax Corridor, end quote, he said on LinkedIn. Quote, as a candidate, my priority is to lay the groundwork for a thriving future. I am committed to empowering city professionals with the expertise to drive meaningful change and supporting initiatives led by experienced leaders to restore and strengthen Ward 1. Together, we can create a brighter, more vibrant community, end quote. He said he aims to champion city professionals with the expertise needed for impactful changes and support initiatives led by experienced individuals to rejuvenate Ward 1. Quote, together, let's work towards a brighter tomorrow for our community, end quote, he said in a statement. Gianna Horton. Horton, a Democrat, currently serves as the state's coordinator for reducing racial and ethnic disparities. She previously served as the co-executive director for the Denver Justice Project and a project manager for the Denver Office of the Independent Monitor. Quote, we need representatives who are reflective of the communities who live in the areas that have the most need and really engage with community members, end quote, Horton said. Quote, we should be showing up authentically to make sure that our voices and our power is constantly at the table where legislation is being built, end quote. Horton received a bachelor's degree from Colorado College in political science and government and went to high school at Denver Center for the International Studies. Quote, education was a critical means for me, continuously breaking the cycle that my mother broke and building off of that, end quote, she said. Horton also served as a member of Aurora's Consent Decree Community Advisory Council. Quote, it's about building a sense of belonging for all who call Aurora home and making sure that I, as a candidate, am building trust between residents and local governance, end quote, Horton said. James Joseph Willett. Willett put his name within the city clerk for city council, but has not made any public announcement to distinguish his candidacy. He did not immediately return the inquiry about his campaign. Ward 2, Central East Aurora. Amy Wiles. Wiles, a Democrat, has lived in Aurora for 25 years and is actively involved in a community-driven groups and lives and works in healthcare in Aurora. Quote, I am not a politician. I am a dedicated community member focused on improving our neighborhood, end quote, Wiles said on her campaign website. Quote, I have always emphasized the importance of community engagement, volunteering, and giving back, end quote. Wiles previously served in groups including Women in Business and was a, quote, Woman Making a Difference, end quote, nominee. She is also a Leadership Aurora graduate and serves as a City of Aurora Human Relations Commissioner, Chairperson, and a member of the Community Advisory Council for the Aurora Police Department Consent Decree. Wiles is a volunteer with Special Olympics Colorado and previously volunteered with Brent's Place, Homes for Our Troops, and as a big sister. Professionally, Wiles works in product development for Healthcare Corporation and owns a small photography business specializing in sports and senior photos. Wiles says she plans to focus on infrastructure, streets, youth, and food deserts. On her campaign website, she said that Ward 2 has had a lot of growth with new homes, gas stations, oil and gas facilities, but infrastructure has been neglected. Wiles says that Ward 2 needs more police support and shorter wait times for police assistance. Quote, in the eastern part of the ward, the community is surrounded by poorly maintained two-lane roads, end quote, her campaign page said. Quote, despite the continuous addition of new homes, we have not addressed the inaccuracy of our roadways. This has often created unsafe situations for community members and repeated accidents, end quote. She also said there should be fewer grocery store deserts, with residents in the eastern part of the ward needing to drive 8 miles to reach a grocery store. Wiles also wants to focus on supporting more spaces for the youth and teens by possibly adding more community centers in the ward or more spaces for youth to spend time outside school and their homes. Steve Sundberg. Sundberg, a Republican, has lived in Aurora for 30 years and owns and operates Legends of Aurora Sports Grill. Sundberg describes himself as pro-small business and has worked on public safety legislation and reducing homelessness. He sponsored panhandling education signage to discourage panhandling and has taken the tough-on-crime approach and, quote, tough love, quote, approach for homelessness. Quote, in this tough love approach, Steve has strengthened our campaign ban and spearheaded a campaign to discourage panhandling, end quote, his campaign website said. Quote, concerned residents are encouraged to give to the organizations who work with the homeless to ensure that donations are used wisely, end quote. Sundberg's campaign website said he will continue to focus on public safety, local business, reducing homelessness, and affordable housing. Gaelic Cherrier. Cherrier, a Democrat, is running for the Ward 2 seat. Cherrier previously worked in the field of government security for United Launch Alliance, Lockheed Martin, and Boeing, and currently has a certified nurse assistant license and serves as a caregiver for her nonverbal autistic son. Quote, I had advocated for him and others within his current school district, end quote, she said. Quote, I'm a firm believer in sharing what I have learned with other parents, especially when it pertains to resources for special needs kids, end quote. Cherrier said that during the time she lived in Aurora, she witnessed numerous changes, which she said she plans to address during her campaign. Ward 2 is the largest ward geographically in Aurora, including vast tracts of land extending to and beyond Denver International Airport and east to Watkins. Ward 3, Central West Aurora. Ruben Medina. Medina, a Democrat, has lived in Aurora for 35 years and is a project manager at the Foundation for Sustainable Urban Communities. Medina is running for his second term in Ward 3. A community organizer, a wrestling coach, a father of three, and a former firefighter slash EMT, Medina said he sees his priority as listening keenly to his community, representing them on the dais within his vote. Medina spent his last term building the city's relationship with his diverse constituency. Quote, we must come together as a community to ensure Aurora remains vibrant, economically strong, and a safe place to live, work, and play, end quote, Medina said in a statement. Quote, rebuilding the sense of unity within our neighborhoods is essential, as progress happens when we collaborate and support one another, end quote. For a second term, Medina said he would build on a safer Aurora, breaking the stigma surrounding mental health, especially for our youth, and ensuring strong support for the elder community. Quote, additionally, I am committed to fostering economic growth by attracting new opportunities and venues that will enhance Aurora's economy and quality of life for all residents, end quote, Medina said in a statement. Marsha Berzins. Berzins is running for City Council of Aurora in Ward 3. Berzins previously served as the Ward 3 representative from 2009 to 2021. After stepping down from the city council, she ran unsuccessfully for Arapahoe County Commissioner. Berzins is a business owner and a mother. She continues to serve on multiple community boards and commissions, according to her website. She said that if elected, she plans to act as a, quote, unifier and to serve everyone in Aurora, end quote, according to her website. Her campaign website said she plans to focus on public safety, jobs, the economy, and community support. Quote, as your city council member, Marsha will continue actively participating in our local community and meet people where they are, end quote, her campaign website said. Ward 3 is essentially encompassed by East 6th Avenue and East Mississippi Avenue, as well as South Airport Boulevard and East Almada Parkway. There is one picture associated with this article with the following description. Aurora City Council Members, September 9th, 2024, Tri Duong, Aurora Centennial. The picture is of the whole City Council sitting listening to a person talking at the podium. An edition of Littleton Independent, Centennial Citizen Independent, Volume 24, Issue 22, Week of May 1st, 2025. Jackass Hill Trail Connection reopening. Survey finds adjacent resident improperly claimed ownership by Isabel Guzman, isabel@cotln.org. Nearly 5 months after the path that connected Jackass Hill Park to the Highline Canal Trail was suddenly closed off to the public, the connection is expected to reopen by May 1st. The 400-foot path was closed in November 2024 after an adjacent homeowner, believing the segment was private property, blocked entry and posted signs warning trespassers would be prosecuted. The city also initially asserted that the path was on private residential property, according to a November 26, 2024 Facebook post. The reasons why the property owner who originally closed off the path are unconfirmed, and the property owner did not respond to a request for comments by the time of publication. However, some neighbors on Nextdoor.com speculated that the owner had grown frustrated over trail users littering and peeking into windows. Quote, probably a liability issue. Landowners don't want to be on the hook for any injury that may occur, end quote, reads one comment on a Nextdoor post from April 9th about the path closure. Quote, they were nice enough to allow it for a time, but something caused them to change their mind. I could only guess that it could have been trash, noise, or an unfriendly conversation with an entitled individual, end quote, another comment read. The city of Littleton said the closure forced trail users onto a one-mile detour along busy surface streets, raising concerns among residents and disrupting a route deemed as a safe route to school for nearby students. Littleton residents pushed for a solution, such as Steve Lowry. Quote, the city had had a long time to sort this out and has been depriving people of the use of public land, end quote, Littleton resident Steve Lowry said on April 8th, before the city announced the reopening. The city considered constructing a new trail on a property to the south, but determined that reopening the existing trail is the most cost-effective and timely way to allow access. The city initiated a property survey and legal review to clarify ownership of the disputed path, which confirmed that the city holds the public right-of-way for the trail. City officials also said they made repeated efforts to address the homeowners' concerns and seek a collaborative solution. Quote, since successfully reaching the adjacent homeowner in mid-March, the city has been committed to continuing an open and productive dialogue to address any concerns related to the public use of the trail and to ensure coordination with the city's plans and timeline for reopening the trail, end quote, said Jessica Binksonman, Director of Communications and Marketing for the City of Littleton. Ensuring access to trails and open spaces is a significant element of Littleton's strategic plan goal to ensure the city is a sustainable community with natural beauty, end quote. There is one picture associated with this article with the following description. A gate and sign closing off a path that connects the Highline Canal Trail and Jackass Hill Park in November 2024, courtesy of Billy Goach. There is a picture of the trail with big signs that say private property and notice not allowing people to go through. Littleton kidnapped attempt suspect set for hearing. Andrew Salazar will be in court on May 14th. Police say girl was injured in incident. By Isabel Guzman, isabel@cotln.org. Andrew Salazar, the 32-year-old man accused of an attempted kidnapping of a young girl on April 19th in Littleton, faced Judge James Xavier Quinn on April 23rd and was assigned a preliminary hearing date of May 14th at 1:30 p.m. at Arapahoe County Justice Center. His $100,000 bond and official charges were not addressed at the April 23rd court session, which was initially set for return of the filing of charges. According to the arrest affidavit in the case, a juvenile female who was riding a bicycle in a Littleton residential neighborhood said Salazar approached her from behind, grabbing around her hips. She said when she screamed, Salazar let go, and she escaped. Littleton police later announced that the girl was injured in the incident. Quote, officers canvassed the area and located camera footage from Redacted showing that at 4:28 p.m., a bright blue Chrysler PT Cruiser was driving in the neighborhood, end quote, the affidavit from Littleton Police states, quote, the same vehicle was observed driving a second time in the neighborhood at 4:38 p.m. and leaving the area at a high rate of speed 2 minutes later at 4:40 p.m., end quote. At 6:59 p.m., an officer then located a car matching the description and license plate number of the blue Chrysler PT Cruiser at 5250 South Huron Street, Building 12, Space 3. Police found the vehicle was registered to one of Salazar's relatives with a Denver address. A resident of the Huron Street Apartments told officers the PT Cruiser was connected to Unit 103. At 9:24 p.m., the same day, an officer saw a man exit Unit 103 and walked southbound. When police approached the man, he verbally identified himself as Andrew and agreed to speak with them. The male was later positively identified as Andrew Salazar, and he initially denied any knowledge of a blue PT Cruiser. He also said he was not in the area where the incident occurred. The statement said that due to Salazar's inconsistent statements and his long brown hair, additional detectives arrived on the scene. Quote, Andrew admitted to driving the PT Cruiser and parking at the location of the incident. Andrew told detectives that he first saw the redacted in the park, but there were too many people around, end quote. The affidavit reads, quote, he stated he walked up behind the redacted and saw the bicycle wobbling. He reached and grabbed the back of the seat to keep it from falling. At that time, the redacted fell on his arm and they both started screaming. His car was parked half a block away, and he quickly skipped to his car and drove away because he was scared, end quote, the affidavit says. Quote, Andrew also said he may have pornographic images of young redacted on his phone, end quote. At 11:26 p.m., Salazar was taken into custody for the investigation of a second-degree kidnapping. Quote, he is the most respectful, responsible individual, very caring, end quote, Salazar's aunt Naomi Clark said after the hearing on April 23rd. Quote, he doesn't cause problems with anybody, end quote, said Lisa Keeley, a family friend and neighbor of Salazar. Denver District Court records show Salazar pleaded guilty in September 2023 to a felony charge listed as assault 2, cause serious bodily injury, heat of passion, resulting in jail time and 2 years probation. As of press time, Salazar remained in the Arapahoe County Jail on a $100,000 bond. Littleton Independent, Volume 136, Issue 39, Week of May 1st, 2025. Littleton to host mile-long community feast. Aim of event is to encourage connection and fight loneliness, by Isabel Guzman. Isabel at cotln.org. This September, Littleton's Main Street will undergo a, quote, mile-long, end quote, transformation as thousands gather for a collective dining experience. The event, Longer Tables Littleton, is set to feature a communal table stretching about a third of a mile from the Melting Pot to Bega Park, with hopes to bring 5,000 community members together to enjoy a shared meal, connect and tackle the growth of epidemic of loneliness. Longer Tables Littleton held a pilot event the evening of April 23rd at the Epic Campus in Littleton, during which an estimated 80 people attended. The event was potluck style and guests brought dishes such as chicken pot pie, gumbo, salad, and gluten-free muffins. Fresh Market and Community Kitchen, a new grocery store in Littleton, also served food at the pilot event. When guests arrived, facilitators directed parking. Once parked, attendees could ride one of the Cycling Without Age Littleton's Trishaws from the parking lot to the entrance of the Epic Campus. Upon checking in, attendees were given name tags that included a space to write their, quote, favorite Littleton secret, end quote. Once name tags were filled out, the event organizers, Lift Up Littleton, labeled dark blue cards with the guests' names and placed them randomly at the long table, encouraging attendees to start conversations with people they were meeting for the first time. To help conversations get started, questions were shown on a projector screen once everyone had filled their plates and returned to their seats. The questions asked guests to share a memorable meal experience, to describe their childhood best friends, and to discuss what brought them to Littleton, among others. Quote, "People can have different feelings and get along," end quote, Littleton Mayor Kyle Schlatcher said during the event. Quote, "When you're breaking bread together, people can agree, disagree, can listen to other people's points of view, and maybe come away from that saying, I've learned something," end quote. City Council Member Andrea Peters and Arapahoe County Commissioner Carrie Warren Gulley also attended the dinner. Quote, "In Arapahoe County, a lot of what we talk about and deal with is health, behavioral health, and housing," end quote, Warren Gulley said. Quote, "We're seeing this loneliness come up everywhere, and that loneliness affects so many parts of our lives, and we're lucky to be at this table," end quote. Feast. Currently scheduled for September 24th, which falls during Hispanic Heritage Month, the mile-long dinner event will be spearheaded by John Jaramillo, President of Hispanic Restaurant Association, and Culinary Director Chef Pablo Aya, with teams of volunteer chefs. Together, they'll grill locally sourced ingredients on 10 custom-built cinder block barbecue pits. Jaramillo, a Navy veteran, said he has a commitment to building a community through food and sees Longer Tables Littleton as a way to transcend barriers. Quote, "Food speaks every language and crosses every boundary," end quote, he said. Quote, "When we share a meal, we share our stories, our heritage, and our souls," end quote. Preparing a feast for 5,000 is no small feat. Jaramillo and his team of 30 chefs plan to craft a menu that uses farm-fresh produce, meats, and baked goods from across Colorado. Quote, "Great food brings great joy," end quote, Jaramillo said. Quote, "And that exactly is what our community needs right now," end quote. For Jaramillo, this event represents a movement, not just a meal. Quote, "We're not just feeding bodies," end quote, he said. Quote, "We're nourishing community bonds and healing cultural divides," end quote. Community members can partake in the September 24th event as attendees or volunteers. Interested parties can visit longertableslittleton.org for more information. To learn more about Jaramillo's work with the Hispanic Restaurant Association, visit hranational.org or call 720-290-7184. There are three pictures associated with this article. The first picture has the following description. Guests gathered to connect and share meals at the Longer Tables Littleton pilot event that was held on April 23rd. The picture is of a very long table with many people talking with each other. The second picture has the following description. An estimated 80 guests attended the Longer Tables Littleton pilot event on April 23rd. The picture is of a table with plates and name tags on them, along with fresh bread and some bright orange and red peppers. The third picture has the following description. Lift Up Littleton is organizing a Longer Tables event that will have a table about a third of a mile long in Littleton this September. Photos by Isabel Guzman. The picture is of people talking and standing with each other while they are gathering around the very long table. There is also one ad on this page. Let's discuss how to make Colorado better together. Colorado Sunfest, presented by the Colorado Sun, hosted by Joseph Korbel School of International Studies, University of Denver. Grab your tickets by scanning the QR code or visit cosun.co/cosunfest2025. May 16th, all day, University of Denver. There is a picture of a nice lake with lots of boats and the mountains in the background. Thank you for joining us for Arapahoe County News, read by Austin.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.